Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So welcome to St. Margaret's for our service of Holy Communion. Today is the first Sunday after Trinity. We'll start with some notices. I'm hoping that you've all noticed the flowers in church. Of course, today is Open Gardens, and it has been really marvellously displayed by the team. So do enjoy those. Another notice, those of you who came, I trust you all enjoyed the choral evensong. Well, songs of praise. Next Sunday, 6 p.m, Wesley Methodist Church in Priory Road in Wickham. A sort of late afternoon, early evening programme. So get there for 4:30 and you can have half an hour of singing all the old favourites, typical songs of praise stuff. And then after that, at 5 o'clock, there's an hour of tea and cake, which probably won't be enough, but maybe longer. And then a songs of praise service afterwards. So in this church, we do have a reputation for singing. So please do go and maintain that reputation. Keep our end up, as it were. But it promises to be really good. Oh yeah, one other thing. I'm hugging this. I publish the bands of marriage. So I publish the bands of marriage between Christopher John Hurst, single of the parish of Hazelmere, and Jasmine Jane Palmcutt, single also of the parish of Hazelmere, both with a qualifying connection to this parish. This is for the fourth time of asking. And if anybody knows any cause or just impediment why they may not marry, you must declare it now. Let's pray for them both. So, Heavenly Father, we hold before you Christopher and Jasmine. Lord, would you be with them in all their preparations for their big day, and be with them on their day itself and as they start their new life together. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And also straight after this service, we'll be baptising Myra Shepherd, 1-year-old Myra Shepherd. So please do hold her and her mum and dad in your prayers as well. Let's stand and we can sing. We'll sing our first hymn, 457, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you.
So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are open, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together. Almighty God,
our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault.
We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Collect Prayer for the first Sunday after Trinity. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
If you'd like to sit, we'll hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give you this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went onward toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
We'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 41, "Be Still and Know That I Am."
Thank you.
gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This is the ninth chapter of Matthew's gospel, and we begin at verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly the leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly, the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. This is the gospel of
Christ. I'm sorry, I've turned the microphone on. You're all going to be able to hear me now. A prayer. It is my wish and my prayer that I may speak only in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. So this week, I've been thinking about our second reading this morning and the way the Apostle Paul talks about faith. He wrote, forgetting on, nearly half of all the books in the New Testament. And I started to wonder just what sort of man he must have been. So I say he wrote all those books. But the fact is that most of them were actually written down by a secretary, a scribe, who just followed what Paul had dictated. So who better to ask about Paul than Paul's secretary, his scribe? I wondered what he would say about Paul. And then I set to imagining what a conversation like that might have gone like. I thought it might have gone something like this. It was a great honour to work for Paul. Of course, at the beginning, I had no idea how important he was going to be. Although, even in the early days, you could tell he was special, someone to watch. He had such energy. He was always talking and thinking. It was quite hard to keep up with him. And sometimes he had a definite tendency to have such complicated sentences and phrases. I didn't always understand what he was saying. But I hear now that his churches have kept his letters, and they still read them over and over again. I was a volunteer, of course, because I am proud of my writing skills, but also because, in a way, I owe my own belief in the Lord Jesus to Paul and his missionary skills. He didn't have to bother, but he fought hard for the Gentiles like me to be included with all the others. I'd hoped to get to know him better, working with him. He was an incredibly hard man to know. I still, to this day, don't understand why he gave up his home and his family and his Jewish tradition to join a bunch of Christians. Going round with him to all those strange places, I heard loads of stories about Jesus. The ones I like the best are the ones where Jesus goes out of his way to help all those folk who the so-called respectable people wouldn't touch with a barge pole. Paul said Jesus used to eat with collaborators and prostitutes, and he'd even touch lepers and unclean women. It's easy to understand why those sort of people would want to follow Jesus. All those people who came to him for healing after everything else had failed. There was this amazing story about how Jesus cured this little girl when everyone else said that she was dead. And her father was a leader of a synagogue, a respectable man, just like Paul used to be. But then again, that father was desperate. Not to mention the woman suffering from hemorrhages that had lasted for 12 years. That was so against normal Jewish culture. But Jesus didn't care. So I can see why people who had nothing to lose would try Jesus. After all, if you're already an outcast, or if the person you love most is dying, why wouldn't you risk it? But Paul wasn't like that, though. He was really well educated, born and brought up a proper, strict Jew. In fact, he'd spent a lot of energy getting all the right Jewish qualifications. As well as all that, he had a respectable trade and a good reputation. He told me that when he first heard about these new Christians, these followers of Jesus, he really hated them. They were completely undermining everything he had worked for, he said. He even went so far as to actively persecute them, even to the point of having some of them put to death. And as a result of all of that, they were all very suspicious of him when he first came to believe. Hardly surprising, really. In fact, I think some of them are still not quite sure about him. So what made Paul turn everything round? Give up his family and his comfortable life and start travelling all over the world preaching about Jesus? I wonder about that a lot, because he often got beaten up or chucked out of town. He even ended up in jail, but he never gave up. And it's a good job he didn't, because now the faith he preached is spreading all over the world, very much thanks to him and his helpers. He was one of life's deep thinkers, of course. He would spend ages thinking about how his old Judaism and his new Christianity fitted together. I remember copying out passages about Abraham and about how what's special about Abraham is that he trusted God. He went on about how Abraham thought that God wasn't like one of the old gods, you know, the sort that you had to put up with their whims, or the sort who only cared if you'd done what you were told. No, faith is what Paul kept going on about. Nobody can keep the law, he used to say, however hard they might try. But anyone can get to know God and trust him just like Abraham did. This was Paul all over. It was so important to him. Of course, if everything they say about Jesus is true, then there's a perfect reason to trust, because Jesus' resurrection means life for all of us. But what if it's not true? I asked Paul this once. I thought he'd be furious with me, but he just smiled and said that he knew better than anyone, except for the 11, because he'd actually met the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, and it had changed his life forever. He said that he hadn't realised just how desperate he'd become. He thought his life was going along just fine, the way it used to be. But when he met Jesus, he knew that anything apart from Jesus, anything outside of Jesus, wasn't really life at all. So, of course, I made all that up. But I hope that it just goes some way to demonstrate that the main thing for Paul was that it was all about faith. Faith is the key. And it seems his scribe would have thought it was all about faith as well. Both heard their call from God. Both answered, and both found it difficult. And I get this. We can come to a place in our journey, or our call, or our lives, where things don't look like we had hoped they would. We can have one version of what our future or our call is supposed to look like. But sometimes God has another. And that can be scary. I don't like uncertainty. I don't like change. And I don't like anything too difficult, or God forbid, too painful. Yet, once we realise that God has placed a call on our lives, and we say yes to that call, then as long as we live on this earth, we'll never be done. Our call isn't over until God says it's over and takes us home. Until then, all of us, no matter what our age, or our health, or ability level, or energy level, have a vital, vibrant ministry to do. Have something unique to add to the kingdom of God. Does that mean that we'll never be afraid or worried or tired or want to just crawl under the duvet and say, I'm finished, God? No, it just means that discipleship doesn't always go according to what we plan. Our journey with God sometimes calls us to do things and be things that we may not want to do or didn't ever see ourselves doing. There might be times when things get hairy, but know this, when you feel that you can't take one more step, God can. You're never left alone. Listen to that small voice. It's okay to feel uncertain, but take the nourishment that God offers, because no matter how it feels, or what you've lost, or what you're dreading, or what you've done, God has a plan for you. In our two churches, there's much to be done. And there's that famous old rule that says 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. That's not a description that God would recognise. God could be calling you now, but if you're not listening, you'll never know. Ask God today what it is you can do. Be persistent. Listen to God. And trust. Let's end with a prayer. Father God, we thank you that we are your church, the body of Christ in the world. Help each one of us to see afresh the possibilities of our everyday lives. We offer to you the places where we live, where we work, where we study, and where we play. Whatever the tasks of our week, wherever we are, we pray that you will work through them and that they will bear fruit for your kingdom. Help each one of us to leave traces of grace wherever we are and whatever we do. Because we ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Lord, you created us in love and for eternity, and you gave your Son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. As you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In this time of political and economic uncertainty, both in this country and throughout the world, let us pray that outcomes to peace talks will be positive and that economies throughout the world will stabilise. In this worrying time, allay our fears and give us the strength we need to carry on in optimism. We pray for the health staff in countries dealing with the outbreak of Ebola and hantavirus, and ask that you keep them safe as they go about their daily work. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We give you thanks for our ministry team of Samuel, Graham, David, Linnea, and Mary as they continue with their leading of our worship. We give thanks for our community and for the coming together of everybody for community events. Yesterday's Pen 7 Fun Run and the Party on the Common, today's Open Gardens, and the upcoming village show on the 20th of June. We give thanks for the teams of volunteers that make these events happen, and we pray that in our community we may continue to share, help and support each other. We give you thanks for all those who've been a strength and a support to us in our lives, and for all those who continue to give their time and support that have transformed our lives by their help. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, at this time of the year when our young people are coming to the end of their exams, surround them with your love and help us to be a support to them in their studies. With the bleak outlook for youth employment, give them strength and resilience as they try to take the first steps in their careers. As we look forward to the summer days and make holiday plans, we ask that you watch over all of us as we enjoy special times with our friends and families, and we thank you for the joy of being able to be with one another. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Give strength to all those who are caring for loved ones who are ill, and comfort all those who've lost loved ones recently. Especially we pray for young families and their needs, the sick and the housebound, the dying and the bereaved, the youth club and the sanctuary cafe. We praise you, Lord, for the successful outcome of Chris's treatment and trust that he may be restored to full health, and thank you for watching over him and his family at this challenging time. We also pray for Amanda R., continuing with her treatment, Bob V., unwell at this time, Carol and Jeff, housebound with Jeff receiving palliative care, Graham Long, undergoing treatment, Harry and Sheila Knox, Laura G, recovering from a fall, and Marie, Tasha's mother, also recovering from a fall. We pray for Ronnie Jones's family on his death, Sandra Mason, who is unwell at this time, as is Sheila Cossens. We pray for all those that are known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. Lord, we give you thanks for our families and all those that we love. As the holiday time approaches, let us savour and enjoy the time spent with our families and friends, and let us be filled with the warmth and joy that you are in our lives, and let your love surround us all. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? We affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Christ has gone to prepare a place for you, that you may be able to abide with him in his peace. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 120, From Heaven You Came.
Thank you. This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is
with us. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him, you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth, Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Eternal Father, we thank you for nourishing us with these heavenly gifts. May our communion strengthen us in faith, build us up in hope, and make us grow in love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We say together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son, and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. And the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our final hymn is hymn number 21. And Can It Be? We'll stand to sing. to our homes with this blessing. As we go from here, may God go with us in the days ahead, keeping us close, keeping us connected, keeping us a community of faith, deepening our trust, encouraging our hope, amplifying our love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and those for whom you pray, this day and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.